This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is program number 18 of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. All are welcome to all of our services. We've been looking at Bible storms and seeing what we can learn from them. And the storm I'm going to talk about today is a storm that can teach us something about how it is that God saves man and what we must do in order to take advantage of the grace that God has given to man that we might be saved. Let me read to you a description of that storm, and those of you that are Bible students are going to readily recognize the storm I'm talking about. In the Bible text, it says, "The same day were all the foundations of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and it rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know what storm that was? Well, of course you do. You learned about this one in Sunday school. This is the storm that brought about Noah's flood. And it's going to show us that Noah was saved from that flood. And by saying that as a model or as a pattern or as a type of how God saves us from a world of sin. You know, John 1:17 says, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And some have concluded from this that there was no grace under the Old Testament. But notice what the text says in John 1:17. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, you wouldn't say there's no truth under the Old Testament. No, grace was not the purpose of the old law of Moses. And the law of Moses was not a plan of salvation. It was to keep Israel separate from the world as God worked out his plan for the gospel of salvation to go into all the world. And through this plan, Christ came. And Christ said in John 5:39, "Search ye the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me." The best way to read the Old Testament is to look for Christ as we read it. And once we understand the New Testament and go back and read the Old Testament, so many things become clear. There's this statement in the New Testament that is pertinent to our study today. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. "God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." There it plainly says, God saved Noah. And when we look at how God saved Noah, we'll get a picture of how God saves us. You see, Genesis 6 and verse 8 says this, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now don't tell me there's no grace in the Old Testament. Grace is as old as Noah. In fact, in Genesis 6:8, this is the first mention of grace that we have in the Bible. And understanding grace here is a great key to understanding how grace works throughout the Scriptures. The American Standard Version doesn't say that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Well, there are things I like about that translation, but there's some things I don't like. That word grace is so important in the old Bibles that if we can understand grace here, we can understand it later. And by disconnecting that word grace and substituting the word favor, we might miss the fact that this is an example of salvation by grace in the Old Testament story. But that word favor has some things going for it too. You see, the word grace we often think of as the word grace means unmerited favor. That's a pretty good Sunday school definition of the term. And so often when we look at the word grace in the Bible, that definition will work well. But not always. The word grace itself simply means favor. Favor is part of the word. The fact that favor is unmerited is not in the word itself, but it is often in the context. And we don't want to strain a point, because certainly whenever God shows his favor toward man, it is an unmerited favor. Because man does not do things to earn or merit God's favor. So it's not a bad definition. But I'm afraid sometimes that when we think of grace as unmerited favor, our attention focuses in on the unmerited part, when the real significance of the word is on the grace part. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, it means Noah found favor. And God showed his favor on Noah. Now, when it says that God saved Noah, well, we know that God saved Noah by grace, Genesis 6 and verse 8. But Noah was not saved by grace only. You see, Noah was also saved by faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. He was warned of God of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes people say, well, seeing is believing. And in a context, we can understand what they're talking about. But also hearing is believing. And that's what faith is. Faith is the confidence we have in that which we have heard. In fact, when we're talking about faith in God, we're talking about taking God at his word. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh yeah, Noah was saved by grace, Genesis 6 and verse 8. And Noah was saved by faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. But Noah was not saved by grace only, neither was he saved by faith only. Because it is clear, Noah was saved by obedience. Look at Genesis 6:22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis 7 and verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Genesis 7 and verse 9. There went in two and two into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Genesis 7 and verse 16. They that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You see, Hebrews 11:7 doesn't say Noah was saved by faith only. By faith being Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved. That's what he did. And he prepared. That's what he did. An ark to the saving of his house. He prepared it by doing what God told him to do. He was obedient. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, where we're told to walk by faith and not by sight, the walk is the obedience. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Noah is saved by grace, by faith, and obedience. But there's something else here involved in the salvation of Noah, and this is the most controversial, and yet it's the most explicitly stated. It says in First Peter 3 in verse 20 that the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, why should that be controversial? It says it very plainly. They're saved by water. You know, the Bible doesn't explicitly say Noah was saved by grace, but when we know Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we know grace was involved. It doesn't explicitly say he was saved by faith, but when it says by faith Noah prepared an ark and become an heir of the righteousness which is by faith, well, we know Noah was saved by faith. It does not explicitly say that Noah was saved by obedience. But it does very clearly say that Noah did all that God commanded him and how that worked into his salvation. And yet it is explicitly stated, 8 souls were saved by water. Why should that be the one that is the most controversial? Those 8 souls was Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their 3 wives saved by water. Now, someone says, well, they weren't saved by getting in the water. They were saved because they stayed out of the water. And it's amazing sometimes what the extent people will go to try to avoid the plain teachings of Scripture. It's true they were not saved physically by water. Now, that they were saved from the water physically, but they were saved by the water spiritually. There's a spiritual aspect to Noah's salvation because Noah was in a world of sin. And it is so terrible, as we well know, to live in a world of sin. It is the water that separated Noah from the world of sin. Why, he came out of that ark into a world that had been washed by water, completely covered in water, with the sin washed away. And so it separated him from the sin of the world. So he separated from the sin of the world by water. And spiritually, that's what amounted to his salvation. But there's something else. There's grace, faith, obedience, and water. But we could say also, Noah was saved by the ark. Listen to Hebrews 11 in verse 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Well, we can't leave the ark out of Noah's salvation. In Genesis 7 in verse 15, it says, they went in, Noah, into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein was the breath of life. And in verse 32, and every living substance was destroyed upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. You see, if Noah was to be saved, it was necessary that he go into the ark and remain in the ark. All that were in the ark were saved, and all that were out of the ark were lost. You see how these things work together in the salvation of Noah? We have a wonderful Bible that makes things so colorful and so clear and so easy for us to understand. Noah is saved by grace, but not grace only. Noah is saved by faith, but not faith only. Noah is saved by obedience, but not obedience only. Noah is saved by water, but not by water only. And Noah is saved by the ark. I want you to listen to the next broadcast. We're going to be comparing that to our salvation because, you see, we are saved by grace, and we are saved by faith, and we are saved by obedience. And we are saved by water, and we're saved by ark. And if we can understand how Noah was saved by these things, then it's going to help us understand how we can be saved by those things. Let me mention this passage. It's so important, and it makes our salvation so important. 2 Peter 3:5-7 says, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heaven and earth which now are by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We want God's salvation. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.